Okay, we'll begin on Daf Hey Amud Aleph. I just want to... I hope that Be'ezras Hashem, by the beginning of next week, we will have either an amplification system or some other setup. I hope that by the beginning of next week, we'll have our solution in place. But what's that?
It's got to open your own shul already.
Well, maybe we'll close off our own shul. Okay.
Is there anything going up there in the
Smedrash? It's preferred that it be down here in the Smedrash. Yeah, okay. Okay, we'll start on Daf Hey Amud Aleph. The seventh wide line on Daf Hey Amud Aleph. About 60% through the line, you have Amale Rabbi Yochanan. We have begun the sugya, the fundamental sugya of Yisurin. Now what we saw meanwhile is that learning Torah can prevent Yisurin, or can take the place of Yisurin. So now, that was Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish said learning Torah can protect one from Yisurin, can make Yisurin go away, can take the place of Yisurin. If a person had Yisurin decreed upon him, Yisurin is suffering. Okay, I'm just going to use the term Yisurin. Yisurin is suffering. If a person had suffering decreed upon him, Torah learning can replace that. Now, Amale Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Ha, such a simple statement. Even kids know that. That's the most obvious thing. Shenema. See, Reish Lakish jumped to a pasuk in Iyoy, and he derived this fundamental principle from that Torah can protect from Yisurin. Ah, your average school kid who learned Shemais knows it too. Vayoyme says in the pasuk, Hashem said, if you will hearken to the words of Hashem, and you'll do what is just in His eyes, and you will listen to His commands, and you observe all of His statutes, all of the ailments that I've put upon Mitzrayim, lo yasim alecha, I won't put upon you, ki ani Hashem roifecha, because I am Hashem, your doctor. So yes, you see that Torah can protect one from suffering. Ella, rather, Rabbi Yochanan says, that is obvious. I'm going to introduce the other side of the coin that's not as well known. That is, if a person can engage in Torah study and does not, HaKadosh Baruch Hu maybe Allah Yisurim Michoyroim, Hashem brings upon him messy misfortune, messy suffering, the Oichin Oisai, and they mess him up. Shenema, as it says in the pasuk, Ne'elamti Dumiya, I was silenced, meaning I kept quiet from good. Good is Torah. A person shouldn't be quiet from good. If a person is too silent from Torah, my pain became very messy. Meaning yes, Torah brings about failure to engage in Torah brings about messy suffering. It says, I kept silent from good. What's good? Good is Torah. Shenema, as it says in the pasuk, Ki lekach toiv nosati lachem. I gave you a good deal, Hashem says to us. Torah, see, that's my Torah. Al ta'azoivu. Don't forsake it. Okay. So if so, Rabbi Yochanan is taking this idea a bit of a harsher step further. He said it's not just that Torah can protect you from Yisurin, but failure to engage in Torah actually invites Yisurin. What's that? Can we apply that? Well, put it this way. Usually these things are not absolute. Meaning there's not an automatic, you forsake Torah learning, you get hit with Yisurin. But we'll say what does apply to all the Jews is, in general with these things, we'll give the mashal for the way these things work. If I tell you that Coke is unhealthy, tonight there's only Sprite here. If I tell you that Coke is unhealthy, does that apply to all people? Yes. But it'll affect some people in different ways than others. Why? It'll depend on a person's general constitution, it'll depend on the rest of his diet, it'll depend on a million other factors. So this is a very big factor. Almost all the things you see in the Gemara, this brings wealth, this brings poverty, these things are all factors in a person's general spiritual constitution. So therefore, yes, it's a rule for all Jews that failure to study Torah is inviting Yisurin. Just, there might be other factors in his constitution that will balance it out. But yes, there's something unhealthy here. Okay. Now, by the way, it's just the Ben Ish Chai notes. We call it messy Yisurin, or dirty Yisurin. Right? That's what the Gemara said. Comes upon him. It says, what? Are there two types of Yisurin? There's like nice Yisurin. There's nice suffering, and then there's messy suffering. And he says, yeah. We'll see soon. That there's actually what we're going to call Yisurin Shel Ava. Yisurin that come as a result of Hashem's love. We'll see soon. Says these are messy Yisurim in the sense that we'll see soon one of the signs of Yisurim Shalava is that it doesn't prevent a person from learning Torah. It says messy Yisurim, dirty Yisurim are Yisurim that do prevent a person from learning Torah. It's Mida Keneged Mida. The person doesn't utilize the opportunity to learn Torah. Hashem brings him complications and problems that now make it even more difficult for him to learn Torah. You don't utilize your opportunities, you can lose them. Or they become more difficult. Okay. With a nun. But it's really the same. Just depends if you're using the Aramaic style or the Hebrew style. Okay. Now, Omar Rabbi Zeira, this is kind of in parentheses here, but it is connected to the subject. Omar Rabbi Zeira, the Tema Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa. Either Rabbi Zeira or Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa said, by the way, note, Sheloi Kemidas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Midas Basa V'Dam. How different Hashem is from mortals. How's that? Midas Basa V'Dam, the way it works with mortals is, Adam Moichel Chayfetz V'Chaveiro, if a man sells an item to somebody else, Moichel Otsev V'Lekeach Sameach. The seller is dejected, the buyer is happy. Now what does that mean? When a storekeeper is selling things, he's happy with every sale he makes. But what Rashi says, what we mean here is, when a person sells his own personal effects, something personal he sells, something that has sentimental value to him, a home item, he's selling it because he needs the money. So that's sad, right? A man has to sell. A couple reach a situation that they're pressed for cash, they sell her wedding ring. The buyer is happy, but the seller is sad. Now, Hashem did something similar. Hashem wasn't pressed for cash, but Hashem had something very precious to him, personally, so to speak, that he parted with. What's that? What? The Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eino Kein. Hashem is not like that. He took his dearest possession, Nosan Lehem Torah LeYisrael, he granted the Torah to the Jewish people, V'samach, and he's happy about it. Shenema, as it says in the Pasuk, Ki lekach toiv nosati lochem, I gave you a good purchase. Torasi, that's my Torah. Al ta'azoiv, don't forsake it. Oh, I'm trying to ask what all the mafarshim is. Why is it called that Hashem parted from it? Hashem has the Torah. Hashem can continue engaging in Torah. He does, right? We know that Hashem engages in Torah every day, just like we do. Why is it called that He parted with it? Right? That's right. Exactly. Like a flame. That's the way the Ben Ishchai puts this question. He says, what did He give away? It's like a flame. You give somebody else, you say, oh gee, now I have a little less fire. So, the answer that both the Gra, the Goyim, and the Ben Ishchai give is a very profound answer. Torah is not just a set of rules that each person has to keep to. The main value of Torah, let's put it this way. Torah is a manual. Right? Torah is a manual. What is the beauty of the manual? Let's say an instruction booklet for building a car. Okay? The instruction booklet in and of itself is not the end result. The end result is when someone takes it, follows the instructions one by one, and makes a car. The end result of the Torah is not to finish with the instruction book, which is what the Torah is. The end result of the Torah is its materialization. That the Torah actually becomes real. It actually takes form in a real way. Now, Hashem gave that into our hands. And if you think about it, it's actually a very scary thing. Because it is of utmost importance, kiviyachol, to Hashem, that the Torah materialize properly. And yet He put it into our hands with our bechira. And now, so to speak, Hashem's ultimate satisfaction, Hashem's ultimate gratification, which doesn't come just from learning Torah, but from the materialization of Torah, is now dependent on us. He parted with that. We don't know exactly how it worked, how it would have worked, but it could have been such that Hashem would have given the Torah to the Malachim. It would have automatically been fulfilled and realized and materialized in the optimal way, the greatest way possible. But Hashem chose not to. He gave it to human beings. Now, it's in our coarse and careless hands, right? Well, it's like giving a kid something very, very delicate. We bang it around, right? After the child goes through our treatments, we don't know exactly what it looks like. By the time we materialize Torah, we have to wonder how far that is from, right? How Hashem pictured it. Take that example. You take a manual of making a really great product, you give it to a kid. You see the final product. How close is it to what the original artist who designed that manual had in mind? It comes out crude, right? Comes out approximate, with holes. But that's what Hashem did. And yet He doesn't regret it. He's very happy about what He did. Because it's for our benefit. And yes, Hashem does continue to learn Torah, but it's already our Torah. Like, for example, we know that Hashem says, even determining the rules, it's not just that He gave the materialization into our hands, but now, even the interpretation of the rules is in our hands. And that's why, for example, one of the Chachamim had a machloikis with his fellow about the interpretation of a certain pasuk. And he met Elio. After he had this dispute with his friend, he left the Beit Medrash, this is Gemara in Gittin. He met Elio HaNavi. And he asked Elio HaNavi, what's Hashem doing right now? And Elio told him, Hashem is learning that pasuk that you just discussed in the Beit Medrash. He said, oh, golden opportunity, we'll find out the truth. What did Hashem say? How did Hashem interpret the pasuk? And Elio said, Hashem said, my son A interprets it this way, and my son B interprets it that way. That's now the ultimate, absolute truth in the pasuk. That's how Hashem is learning the pasuk. There's the interpretation given by this chacham, and there's the interpretation given by that chacham. Now it's in our hands. Even more than that, mind-boggling Gemara and Bava Metzia. Whatever this means, there was a machlokes between Hashem and the Beis Din Shalmala, the heavenly court. They were arguing about a certain halacha in Hilchas Taharas. Okay? They were arguing about it. Hashem said Tahar, and the heavenly court said Tameh. Don't ask me what that means. Actually, we can give a little bit of insight into it, but in general, I don't know what that means. And they're arguing back and forth, and they couldn't resolve it. Hashem brought a proof, they refuted it. They brought a proof, Hashem refuted it. Finally, they said, how are we going to resolve the question? We're going to approach Rava, one of the sages living in this world. And we're going to ask him, who's right? The Gemara says, at that time, Rava was dying. It's the whole story. At that time, Rava was dying. This was in his final moments. They presented him with the question, and he ruled Tahar, and with that word, he died. But that was what settled the issue. You have to ask a mortal here on this world. It's no longer up to Hashem. It's no longer up to the heavenly court. It's up to us. Very interesting concept.
Pick the right side.
What's that?
Pick the right side.
I wonder if they didn't tell him who said what.
Yeah.
Why should that be so?
What's that?
Why should that be so?
Why should it be so? Don't know. It's a good question, and Malachim asked that question. They asked, why are you doing it this way? Let your splendor stay in the heavens. Let it, give it to the Malachim. They can deal with it right. But Hashem chose us. What's that?
I'm asking more on the Torah underlying the changes to me as a result of what the world has done.
That's included in this concept that Hashem gave it into our hands. Hashem gave it into our hands. What? No. After Moshe Rabbeinu died, there was no more determining halacha by a Navi. No. It was all determined by Sanhedrin. There was a question of halacha, it was not determined by the Navi. Right after Moshe died, Gemara says, 3,000 questions of halacha came up. It was part of the morning of Moshe. Always brought direct answer from Hashem. Hashem said, no, that's it. No more, now you have to figure it out yourself. Okay. By the way, I will just finish in parentheses with what the Tzitz HaKoshin gives a profound explanation of what it does mean that there was a machloikus between Hashem and the heavenly court. He says, yes, prayer is given to human beings. Well, what does that mean? We know what it means. It means that what humans decide is the truth. Now, so does that mean that now I can sit back and relax and say, I don't have to worry about it, I can't go wrong. Whatever I deduce, that's what it is. If so, there's really never such thing as saying that one Pleisik is right and one Pleisik is wrong. There's never such thing as refuting something somebody else said. Because he's a human and he said it. But the answer is, the Tzitz HaKoshin says, that no. There is a very important condition, and that is the human beings have to maximize all the resources they have, mental, traditional, everything at their disposal to reach the MS. Then they can rest assured that that is Teres MS. But if a person approached it a little bit lackadaisically, and yeah, he didn't really put all of his efforts into it, that's not necessarily true, Tyra. So the Machlekes was as follows. Hashem said Tahar. The heavenly court came and said to Hashem, we were once human. We're saying, it could be that in terms of absolute divine truth, it's Tahar. But we're saying that human capacity cannot reach the understanding that it's Tahar. Human capacity will get stuck at Tameh, and therefore, according to the way you set it up, it should be Tameh. And Hashem was saying, no, I'm not telling you that according to my understanding it's Tahar. I'm telling you that it's within human comprehension to deduce that it's Tahar. And they were saying, can't be. So that's what Hashem said, let's see. Let's go to Rabbah, see what he comes up with. And Rabbah said Tahar. It showed that when there was that human whom Mamish took it all the way, maximized every last ounce of his capabilities, he did conclude that it was Tahar.
Okay.
Well, you know, I don't know if I should have said that. I'm not sure. Heavenly court could mean one of two things. It could mean malachim. It could mean the neshamas of tzaddikim from past generations. I'm not sure. I said that, but don't hold me to it. Okay, we'll move on. But, yeah. Okay. Now, the truth is, I'll just note, that this really is connected to the previous Gemara. It was kind of parenthetical, but it's less to do with what we said previously. The Gemara said that if a person is capable of learning Torah, but he's lax about it, Hashem messes him up, Hashem brings Yisurin. Because when you understand the magnitude of what it means, that Hashem gave us the Torah, put it into our hands, there could be no greater sacrilege than not utilizing whatever moment you have to learn Torah. And that's what I was saying, yeah, a person doesn't appreciate what it means. He deserves these Yisurim. Okay. Now, Omar Rabbe, the Tamar of Kisa. Now we really get into the sugya. Either Rabbe or Rabbe Kisa said, Imraya Adam Shi Yisurim Baimalam. If a person sees that Yisurim are coming upon him, suffering, Yifash Pesh Bemaisam. There is a procedure. Step number one is, examine your deeds. See, maybe I did something wrong that's causing this to happen. Shenema, as it says in the Pasuk, Nach Pesod Rochenu V'Nach Kaira. We search out our ways, we investigate them, in Oshuva Ad Hashem, and we return to Hashem. Meaning, the first assumption is that the Yisurim is a signal from Hashem. Hey, you stepped off there, get back on. So that's number one. What might I have been doing wrong that caused this? Now, Hishpesh V'loy Matza, what happens if a person sat down, took stock, and came up with nothing? My record is clean. Yitle bevitul Torah. Then you should attribute it again to what we were discussing. Bitul Torah. Maybe you were not energetic enough about Torah learning. Shenema, as it says in the Pasuk, Ashrei agever asher tiasenu ka. Fortunate is the man whom Hashem chastises. Through which you teach him your Torah. Meaning, sometimes Hashem will cause a person to suffer in order to teach him more Torah. This person is not learning enough Torah. To make him suffer a little bit, he'll wake up, he'll refresh his efforts in his Torah learning. Now, ve'im tala ve'loy matza. This is already a bit beyond me. If a person considered the possibility that maybe he didn't learn enough Torah, but he analyzed and he found that no, can't be. Every possible second was dedicated to Torah learning. Could there be such a thing? Apparently, but we'll discuss it a little more. We'll see some more on this. First, we're going to get through the Gemara itself. Each line here is mamish packed. But first, we'll move through the Gemara itself. He entertained that possibility, but found that also not to be. No? By the way, I'll note, it sounds very foreign to us that a person can come and say, no, I never wasted a moment. But we have to remember, when we're talking in terms of the Amoraim, take for example Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was able to say about himself, I never go, we say, we never go 4 amos without a yarmulke. Rabbi Yochanan said, I never went 4 amos without Torah. Okay? So, what's that?
This wasn't necessarily being addressed to the Amorayim, it was
being addressed to all of us. That's true. And therefore, we will have to put it into perspective that we can relate to. We will. So whatever it is, if you tried that, it wasn't that either. Be'adua she'isurim shel avayim. They are what's called Yisurim Shel Ava. Suffering that's brought on a person because of Hashem's love. Perplexing phrase, Yisurim Shel Ava. But right now we'll just take it as a given. There is such a thing. Sometimes Hashem makes a person suffer because he loves him. It means things that you could conceivably come up with now. Anything that you may have done in your entire life might be covered by this last one. Yisurin Shalava. We'll see. But no, when it says Yifashvish for myself, it means something in your current frame of consciousness that you can attribute it to. Now, Shenema, as it says in the Pasuk, that yes, there's such a thing as Hashem causing a person to suffer because he loves him. Who Hashem loves, he chastises. Okay. Now this is a very, very, very big subject. What does Yisurim Shel Ava mean? I'm going to put it on hold now, noting that yes, Bezus Hashem, we will try to address it in a concise, comprehensive way. Okay? Now, it is Nagei Alamayis.
We might need to know that.
What? Oh, who's holding on that Madrega? We'll see. We'll see. Now, okay, so you know what? I want to step back now. I'm going to allow myself to step back and address this in a bit of a broader way, because this is such a fundamental subject that there's so much lack of clarity about that it really deserves a little bit of our attention. So, let's just have it very clear. We have to make halachas out of this. Hilchos Yisurin. You see that there are three stages. Number one, you have to check for wrongdoing. Number two, check for bittul Torah. And number three, you attribute it to Yisurim of love. Okay. I'm going to begin just with a Maharal who will give us a general perspective that we'll use to build on afterwards and put things into much more tangible and practical perspective. The Maharal says as follows. What are Yisurim? Yisurim, in a conceptual sense, means imperfection, compromising my life, right? That's what Yisurim are. They turn life into unperfect life. So he says, therefore, imperfection has to be attributed to imperfection. So he says, the most basic form of imperfection is sin. Right? You were created in a certain state. When you do an Aveira, you mess yourself up. That's the most direct and obvious cause for Yisurin. You caused imperfection in yourself. Yisurin come upon you tit for tat, very neat. But what if it's not that? He says, then you go to a more subtle level of imperfection. The most basic thing is don't mess yourself up. Right? Don't make yourself imperfection. But, the next level is, you're not just here in this world not to mess yourself up. You're here in order to fill yourself with Torah, with knowledge of Hashem, etc., etc. So let's say you didn't sin, but you did not get ahead in your learning. That's a more subtle level of imperfection. You're not perfecting yourself further. You're leaving your natural imperfection in its place. Leaving your natural imperfection in its place, okay, it's a bit of a higher level in sinning, but that's also imperfection that warrants Yisurin. And then we get to the third level. Let's say it's not that either. Here the Maharal says an amazing thing, which is going to serve as our basis of understanding one of the fundamental approaches of Yisurin Shalava. The Maharal says as follows. This is a person who didn't find himself guilty of sin, nor of bittul Torah. So what is it that's happening here? So what's happening is, I want to step back for a minute. I want to preface what he says here with the following. We're called Adam. Why are we called Adam? Because we come from the Adama, right? We come from the earth. We're made of dirt. And that's why we're called Adam. So why us more than animals? Animals are less Adama than we are? Why are human beings identified with the dirt more than all the rest of the creation? Plants are Adam. Animals are Adam. Why aren't we only Adam? But
the animals don't need a reminding of
it. Ah. I want to put it into a little sharper than that. What's that? Oh, okay. You'll hear now. He says as follows. Let me ask, where are you more likely to be identified as an American? In Eretz Yisrael or in America? In Eretz Yisrael, obviously. In America, nobody's going to point to you as an American because, of course, everybody's Americans here. Says, on earth, nobody needs to be called Adam. Everybody is Adama. Earth is one big glob of Adama. Animals are Adama. Plants are, everything is Adama. It's because man is not an earthly being that he's called Adam. Man is a spiritual being. Man is actually the greatest of beings that there is. What's that? Oh, 1 minute. 1 minute. Man primarily is a Shamayim being. Just, you know what's unique about him from all the heavenly beings? That he's got an element of earth in him. And that, he's completely different. That's where he stands out. We are primarily Shamayim beings. As Shamayim beings, we're identified as Adam. Those are the ones, that's the strange species of celestial being that has Adam in it, that has earth. So actually the term Adam for us should highlight our greatness. Now the Maharal says as follows. When a person grows greater, the fact that he actually is Adam becomes more of a saint. As long as you are just a materialistic guy, yeah. So you're an Adama oriented person, right? You're a physical guy. The more spiritual you become, the more anything physical about you stands out. The higher you get, the more your physicality stands out. The more your physicality becomes a problem. And therefore, the Maharal says, what before might not have been called imperfection, now that you're rising higher, becomes an imperfection. Becomes a flaw. And that's going to bring you surah. But actually, because you're becoming greater, any flaws in you become magnified. And that brings you surah. Now, that's very nice mathematically, but it doesn't sound nice. It doesn't sound fair. Like, what can I do about it? See, I want to put this into better perspective. This is already something. Here, when we hear this next step, we can really reach a situation where Yisurim can manish be a cause for joy. The Ikarin takes this a step further, and he says as follows. When a person is a small person, there are many things that he might do. People are judged according to where they're holding. Right? Let's say I tell you that there's a person in your neighborhood known as a very, very conscientious person, hard worker, davens hard, learns well, dedicated to spirituality. But I want to tell you in a secret that this guy has a stain on his record. One day, 3 months ago, he didn't have kavanah in three brachas of Shemoneh Esrei. So this guy is not everything you think him to be. 3 months ago, he didn't have kavanah in three brachas of Shemoneh Esrei. Now, for us, it's not going to be held against us. We're humans. We're humans on a lower level. And we're meant to be working at our pace. And we're held responsible for things that we can handle. We're not going to be taken to task. As long as we're trying, we're not going to be taken to task for every bracha that we didn't have the right kavanah in. But, now let's say this person starts working very, very, very hard. His tefillahs become more and more and more enhanced. In general, he elevates himself more and more and more and more until he becomes a truly great person. And now he's already reaching a level. The greater you come, the greater your place in Olam Haba is. You're reaching a more elevated and elevated place in Olam Haba. But now let's see, he suddenly reaches a point where he's ready to enter the area of Olam Haba, where, let's say, the Arizal and his kind are. Okay? That, 1 minute, there's a bit of a problem here. This person is reaching the level that he's ready to break into that threshold. But in that threshold, in that area, there is no such thing as a person who ever missed Kavanah in Shemot Esrei. So on the one hand, he really wouldn't be faulted at that point with the Kavanah that he didn't have. But that's only as long as you keep to that lower level. Once you want to break into levels of Olam Haba, that are so much higher, you might reach a place where they say, 1 minute, here, nobody can come in having missed one bracha in Shemana Esrei with Kavanah. There's just no such thing at this level. So what are we going to do? Are we going to lock him there? Are we going to make a ceiling? He can't get any further than that, because this is already the level of those people. Therefore, Hashem all of a sudden will say, now, you know what I'm going to do? I will punish him. I will punish him for that time when he was a young man and he missed the bracha of Kavanah in Shemana Esrei. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been punished for it. But now, in order to enable him to get into this higher territory, in order for him to be able to have a place next to the Kedoshe Elyon, who never did miss a bracha in Shemana Esrei, Hashem says, you know what? I'm going to treat it as a sin. I am going to punish him. That will rectify that, which might otherwise might not have required rectification. Now he'll be able to break further. What's that? He can. But we're talking about things that are on such a subtle level that a person might not even be conscious of it. We're talking about subtleties that a person wouldn't be able to be responsible for. He might not even be conscious of it. Now, are you going to start remembering 20 years ago each thing that you did then that you wouldn't do today? So yes, if a person did keep track, from when he became bar mitzvah, he kept track of every tiny, tiny subtlety, he might cover himself. But he's bar mitzvah, he doesn't even have the concept of greatness that he might be at when he's 40. So therefore Hashem says, I don't want there to be any ceiling. And therefore, now retroactively I'm going to come and I will punish him for those things that I would have never held against him. What do you mean?
What's the definition of punishment that we're working?
Can come in any form. We'll say soon exactly what Yisurin. Yisurin can be. Yes or no? Yisurin can be anywhere from. There's a range. Yisurin can be anywhere from reaching into your hand for a nickel, for a quarter, and coming up with a nickel. And you say, darn, I have to stick my hands into my pocket again. Anywhere from that to 30 years of hell in Siberia. Yisurin can be anywhere in that range. Have you experienced suffering that's either lower than the first case or greater than the last case? If not...
But the perfect punishment is correction path.
Right.
Like a person 30 is not punished by washing it off. It's got to be washed off.
This is washing it off. That's true. That's true. What you're saying is a very good point. That's right. The Kadmon, the Ran stresses this. When we talk about punishment in terms of Hashem, like we're going to see now, it's not punishment as in a judge to a prisoner. It's punishment as in a father to a son. Father to a son should not be. I hope. No. But when a father punishes a son, it should never be retribution. You did this, you get that. Punishment is always for the purpose of ensuring you won't do it again. Or making you realize what's wrong with what you did in order to improve you. But yes, Hashem's purpose of punishment is only in order to cleanse us and improve us.
Can we assume that there's no Yisur Shalava, as we call it, Yisur Shalava for people that aren't on that great level?
There are, in a different way. We'll get to it. We're just starting the subject. What's that?
Yes.
You're saying, can we ever hope to attribute it to this?
Or can we ever attribute? Yeah. Can we look at anything that's going on in our life? Yeah. Serum Shabbat. Unlikely, because we're just regular.
You know what? I think that your question will be answered by the time the shir finishes. You'll let me know if not. No, because there's a lot more that we have to define well here. And, well, I'll say right now in a general way, the answer to your question is, we can attribute any suffering that we have to Hashem's love for us, even if it's not in this specific category of Yisur and Shalava. Sorry? Again. No. Because the baby continues to live afterwards. There's Gehenim also. Gehenim is after death. Life doesn't end at death. Life begins at death. Now, we're lucky if we can have ourselves all cleansed before death, because then we can achieve a lot more before we go. But death is actually part of the cleansing process. That's what, basically what he's asking also. How can we relate to this? No, it cleanses us anyways. You get, you need... Rabbi Yaakov is asking a very, very fundamental question, which is also a question that the Ran asks, both your point and what you just mentioned. The Ran has a drasha on this. Rabbi Yaakov is asking like this: if the whole idea of punishment is just to improve us, just to better us, or to get us to rectify things we did wrong, what about things that we did forget about? And we're saying now that Hashem will bring Yisurim in order to atone for the things that you forgot about. But where's the bettering there? Or the Ran asks this in a much bigger way. Gehenim. It's not going to improve a person anymore. There's no more improvement. How do you put Gehenim into the perspective I just presented? The answer to this is that to be punished for a sin is very, very, even if it's not going to make us a better person anymore, is very, very important for our benefit for the following reason. This is a very fundamental piece of this whole puzzle. A big part of our purpose in this world, the reason Hashem makes us go through this world, is in order for us to earn our reward in the next world. Now, we have a hard time relating to that. But Hashem is telling us, if you don't earn it, you won't enjoy it. Now, we have a hard time relating to that. We would say, try me. Right? It's okay, I'll enjoy it. But that's only because we are in a physical state. The neshama is perfection. A perfect person, a perfect being, cannot enjoy something he didn't earn, something that he's getting for free. Can't a perfect person whose sensitivities are perfectly refined cannot, has a very hard time being on the receiving end without doing anything for it. It's just the feeling of indecency, of inadequacy. And therefore, in the next world, we would not be able to enjoy something that we didn't truly earn. There would be no way. So therefore, Hashem puts us in this world for a very real work session. But the problem is, what happens if we don't do such a great job? So Hashem says, you know what? If you don't do a great job, you get punished. That covers your mistake. And then you can go on and enjoy the next world. If you were to come into the next world, again, working with this premise, that you cannot enjoy something that you don't really deserve, if Hashem would let you into the next world overlooking your sins, you'd feel funny. You'd feel that it's again just a joke. If Hashem, the whole feeling that I really earned it, that I really warranted this, is the feeling that I went through this world where the stakes were real. Where the stakes were real. Right? Now when I come into the next world, I know that I have successfully gotten through a real tightrope. Right? A real tightrope, now I can enjoy it. Now, if the stakes are going to be real, not just a joke, then the punishment for the Averis has to be real also. Then, after a person has gone through his Gehenim, he can come to Olam Haba and really enjoy it. That's what Gehenim is there for. That's the purpose of Gehenim. So in order for you to be able to come to Gan Eden and say, yes, I made my mistakes, but I paid the price. And now I can really enjoy the Gan Eden that's waiting for me. That's what Gehenim is for. And that also explains why, yes, there might be some avera that you've forgotten about in your past. You have no chance of ever remembering it. And Hashem will make you suffer a little bit, or a lot of it, in order to atone for it. Because then again, you can come to the next world saying, yes, I had this mistake, but I paid the price. So this is one fundamental approach of what Yisurin Shel Ahava means.
It sounds like only suffering makes correction. Anything we've done wrong, we need to do a certain amount of suffering.
No.
In order to correct.
No. Suffering is if you don't choose a different route. A person can choose tshuva. A person can choose Torah learning. All these are for cases where the person didn't do tshuva, and chas v'shalom might end his life not having done tshuva, which is the greatest tragedy of all. Hashem wants to help us leave this world in a clean state. So if you don't do the tshuva, if Hashem likes you, He'll help you out by sending some suffering your way. And that's what's coming up next, and this is going to answer your question. Let's see. Oh, that's not so. Qualitatively, it seems not fair. You're asking a good question. Qualitatively, all the suffering. What's that? Oh, so that qualitatively, all of the suffering in this world cannot compare to a moment again. And if so, what's that? And it seems that that's not fair. Why should then some people get it in this world and some people get it in the next? But the answer is that you earn that right too. When a person is deserving, he'll get it paid off in this world. When a person is not deserving, he won't. It's all up to what you earn. It's up to you to decide whether you're in the class of people who will get it paid off in this world, or whether you're going to be in the class of people who will get it in the next world. And lucky is the person who puts himself into the class that gets it in this world. Okay. Now, let's see the next line. There's more to discuss on this, but let's see the next line. Omar Rove, Omar Abschoyro, Omar Avun. Kol Shakadosh Baruch Hu Chafetz Bo. Anybody whom Hashem has an interest in, meaning a person who earned Hashem's favor through his efforts, Medakoi B'Yisurin. He will hit him with Yisurin. Shenema, as it says in the Pasuk, Hashem Chafetz, Hashem has an interest, Dakoi HaChalitz. He'll hit him with ailments. So if so, this is again what we're seeing here. If Hashem has an interest in you, He will make a point of making sure to rectify your wrongs in this world with Yisurin. Now, here's really the answer to what you were asking. But what we described before as Yisurin Shel Ahava is a very specific level of Yisurin Shel Ahava. But the first level also, a person sins, and Hashem is bringing him suffering in order to atone for that sin, that's also an expression of Hashem's love. It's just not the same level as the ultimate Yisurin Shel Ahava we're talking about.
No, even the first two levels, that's a level, everything Hashem does, we know it's out of Ahava. The ultimate level you're talking about is where you can't attribute it to anything but Ahava.
So here, it's also for an Avera, but it's Ahava. Meaning, Hashem would otherwise, for a person that Hashem doesn't like, Hashem will say, you know what? You got Averas, enjoy life, finish up, then we'll talk. You don't want that. Right?
The third level you're talking about is where it can be attributed to nothing but Hashem loves you.
Right.
So that doesn't apply to any regular
that
person.
Higher level might not apply to every person.
So say.
Right. But that's okay. Because it's quite profitable to get this first level of Yisur, which is also an expression of Hashem's love for you. Hashem says, you're the type of guy that I don't want to finish off life with a bill. That's also an expression of love. When we say Yisur Shel Ahava, we mean the epitome of Yisur Shel Ahava, the greatest level of Yisur. But actually, what the Gemara is saying here is that, no, also the first level, if you have a sin, and Hashem makes the point of bringing you Yisurin, either in order to wake you up, to become aware of this, or in order to atone for it, that is Hashem's interested in you, Hashem wants you. Hashem wants you to finish off right. Okay. Now, but there is one condition. In order for this to work, which, in other words, what we're saying is, any Kisurim can be taken as Hashem's interest in you, can be taken in Hashem trying to benefit you, and you can use it to atone, you can use it as a schus, but there's just one condition. Yonchor afil eloi kibble me'ava, this is the key condition. You might think that it has this effect even if you don't accept it lovingly. Meaning, you say, Hashem, if this is what you want for me, I'm taking it. Talmud Loimar. Therefore the pasuk says, Im tasim asham nafshay. The pasuk that talks about Hashem bringing suffering upon a person whom he likes, continues and says, you use his nefesh, you use himself as an asham. That usually a person doesn't have air, he brings an asham, he brings a sacrifice. So you say, now Hashem is using the person himself as a sacrifice. But my asham ledas, just like an asham can only be brought of a person's own volition, so at yisurim ledas, yisurim also have to have that element of person going along with it willingly. This is what Hashem is bringing upon me. I am willing to go along with it. I'm accepting it willingly. Now, being kibla maschara, and if you do accept it willingly, what's the reward? That itself, the very concept of accepting Yisurim willingly, opens up a whole shower of divine favor on you. Yerezera, we have blessed offspring, Yarich Yamim, we have long days. Veloy oy, and not only that, Elosha Talmudoi Mitzkayim Biyadoi, he'll have success in his learning. Shenema, as it says in the pasuk, V'chepetz Hashem biyodo yitzlach. Hashem's interest for him will be successful. Okay, so here we've really just addressed one approach of Yisurim Shalava, according to which, at the end of the day, we have to note, all Yisurim at the end of the day are relating somehow to an Aveira. Even the highest level of Yisurim Shel Ava are somehow relating to some failure, right? That's what we're saying. It was a failure. It was too subtle at the time. You might not have been punished for it, but ultimately it relates to some failure. This is one school of thought among the Kadmonim, among the earlier authorities, which has a lot of heavy weight on its side. This is held by the Ramban. The Karim expresses this approach, and others. This is kind of the idea that the Maharal was saying. But there's another approach about Yisurim Shel Ava, which is equally fundamental. And this is basically the approach held by Rashi, the Vilna Gaon, etc., etc., a whole long list, the Chovos HaLevavos. So as far as we're concerned, all of this is Torah. This is all Halacha L'maaseh as far as we're concerned. There are another few elements of Yisurim Shel Ava that it's very worthwhile to be familiar with. One level of it is as follows. First of all, we have to break it down. Suffering can manifest in a few ways. You can have a person who has a life of suffering. That's one class. That's one type of Yisurim Shel Ava. We'll address that. Then there's a person who goes through a specific misfortune. It's another class. Then there's a person who's faced with a situation where he has to suffer for a mitzvah in order to fulfill the Torah right. That's another class. We'll address that too. So first of all, one very fundamental understanding of Yisurim Shel Ava is the following. We are here to utilize all of our koyches, all of our potential, all of our capabilities, dedication to Hashem, right? Now, when Hashem sees that a person is reaching very, very high levels, Hashem says, okay, now it's time to take his service to the next level in order to enable him to become even greater, right? Let's say you have an Olympic trainer, and he has his training athletes, and you have one guy who now runs faster than everybody else. And he's the fastest guy. And that's it. He's developed his muscles. And running, okay, he's not going to get any faster. So you know what the trainer will tell him now? You know what? Everybody's going to continue running on this track. You now, go into the pool and start running. Start running in water. And all of a sudden the guy says, 1 minute, now I'm slower than everybody else. That's right. You've reached the level where I want to bring you to a whole new level of success. Right? Much harder work, which is going to develop you much further. It's going to bring you to much higher heights. Therefore, for example, a person had a normal life. A person had a normal life, serves Hashem, loves Hashem, created a solid relationship with Hashem, has a lot of bitachon, right? Now all of a sudden Hashem says, you know what? You reached a satisfactory level of trust, of faith, of love. Now, I want to move on to the next level. I'm going to turn your life upside down. You'll get very sick now. It's going to change your life. Now you have years of treatment, being at home, not feeling well. Everything is going to be different now. Now, it's almost like you're starting from scratch. Now, I have to start again. My love for Hashem has to be redefined now. Up till now, it was very easy to love. Right? Now, can you take it to the next level? Can you love Hashem now? Can you still feel, I feel secure in Hashem's hands? I feel that whatever He does for me is the best thing? Sure, now you felt whatever Hashem did for you was the best thing because everything was great. You saw that it was the best thing. But now can you feel that way? Can you still manage to daven with intensity? Now already, you're translating, you're moving from a $1,000 business to a $1 million business. Now all of your efforts are with so much more. Right? It's working against so much more. Now all of your efforts are worth so much more. So therefore, yes, that's an element of Yisurim Shel Ahava. Yisurim Shel Ahava, this is already something that could have nothing to do with the previous failure. The person has an absolutely perfect record. And Hashem says, now I want to bring you to the next level. Bring you to the next level. Now, very true. That's right. That's right. That's a very important element of this. Feeling that is a very important element of this. The Chazal of Bavli actually stresses, and he says, it's even more than that. A very fundamental part of our service of Hashem is, one of the very important dynamics of our service of Hashem is, the feeling that I am just putting myself at Hashem's disposal. Hashem, you can make all decisions for me. So, when Hashem decides that my daughter gets a good shidduch, and when Hashem decides that my son gets into the right yeshiva, I say, Hashem, you're doing a good job, keep it up. I see I put my eggs in the right basket. But now what happens when Hashem says, okay, the next month you're going to spend in the hospital? I say, one minute, Hashem, I have to reassess my decision. No, Chavos HaLevavos says he's testing that decision itself. Can you still say, I'm keeping with my choice? I decided that I'm putting myself at your disposal. That's not changing now. So this has nothing to do with chet. This is an issue of taking your dedication to Hashem to the next level. And now all of a sudden your reward is going to start billowing now exponentially. This is the next approach on Yisurim Shel Ahava. Okay, we're right in the thick of the subject. That's what Hashem next time.